From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Nick, I gotta tell you, thank you.
We're gonna start things off right today, huh?
You know, I like to tell you guys and take you behind the scenes. Now, my morning has been fantastic. Two cups of coffee. Traffic was unbelievable because a lot of y'all are on spring break, right? I come in this morning. I'm feeling good. Show sheet. Paul actually has the staples right 2 days in a row. Swish. I didn't say anything yesterday, but that happened. But then, Ursula, I got to share with you something. Finally, I was wondering which Ursula I was getting today, because your energy this morning has just kind of been serious, you know, and then Nick plays a good Fresh Fridays music, and then you start dancing. Welcome to Fresh Fridays, Ursula.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well,
it is
on?
A Fresh Friday, but there is some very serious news that, unfortunately, I have to bring you.
Okay.
So it is a Fresh Friday, but the news never stops, as
okay.
you know.
Okay.
And
okay.
for me, that always comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give y'all a heads up in case you're not following this. There is a possibility of a major retaliatory attack by Iran on Israel. And it could come as soon as today. So this is based on unnamed U.S. officials talking to CBS News and other major organizations that this attack could possibly include more than 100 drones and dozens of missiles aimed at military targets inside Israel. And that country has been on high alert because of multiple threats that Iran would launch a strike on Israeli targets to avenge the April 1st airstrike on an Iranian consulate building in the Syrian capital of Damascus. So I hate to bring that news to you. I just want you all to know that we are prepared to take any CBS updates if there, because obviously that would be huge news.
It would be.
So I want you to know that we are tracking that,
mm-hmm.
but we're not going to let that stop us from also having what we like to call Fresh Friday.
All right. Well, Ursula's here. So here comes that top five news stories right now. Brought to you by Wayscar 40, Zuzu and Auburn.
And we're going to start with something very serious locally. Seattle police are searching for someone who intentionally drove an SUV over tents on a downtown sidewalk on Tuesday night. Officers were actually at the intersection of 3rd and James around 11 on Tuesday night when they saw a gray Acura SUV drive over the tents.
Officers were able to pursue the vehicle, but determined that at that time there were no victims in the tent. So the pursuit was actually terminated.
Officer Brian Pritchard tells us, though, that the suspect returned to that exact same scene about an hour later.
Shortly thereafter, the same SUV returned to the scene, and the occupants reportedly fired multiple shots at that scene.
So no shell casings or property damage were found. None of the witnesses would talk to police that night, but this is at least the fifth incident that appears to be targeting homeless people just in the past couple of months. Two people have been killed. Two others have been injured in these incidents. And police have arrested a 25-year-old man who is suspected of attacking one of the victims with an axe and killing him outside Town Hall in Seattle.
This is awful. This is awful that this is happening to people. What's also awful is how those that are unhoused get demonized by some folks in this country, and especially here locally. Ursula, I made sure to take some of the comments on this story, and here I'll just take this, the first comment that I saw on this story, and it says, if you don't do something about the criminals and crackheads, we will. It's right there. It's right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's on social media?
Yeah.
Someone posted that story?
Right up under the news story. If you don't do something about the criminals and crackheads, we will. The reason why I'm bringing up that comment, because there are people that make others believe that those that are unhoused are criminals and crackheads. There are those that make people believe that the only people that commit crime are those that are unhoused, when we know there's many people that commit crimes that are housed.
And these type of things are happening, I believe, Ursula, because people that are on unfortunate times are made to be and look like villains out here. And so if you're upset about that, which I think we all are, this is awful. Be upset about the people that like to show them and take videos of them and take pictures of them and show you and try to make them as if they are less than people. Like, at the end of the day, even though there are hard times and even though they could be some that are on drugs, these are still people. These are still people that possibly have loved ones who maybe they can't do anything for them, but it's unfortunate. So that's why, that's the angle I wanted to bring today. I wanted to point a spotlight. So the next time that you see someone use their platform to take pictures, to talk down about these people, just remember stories like this.
You bring up a great point, and that's not to say that there aren't problems associated with these tents, with these camps, et cetera. I mean, I know that that's what you're referring to, that you can't lump everyone under the same umbrella and forget that they are people. And even if you are so frustrated because there is crime happening in many of these camps, or because they're still there and it's affecting you and your feeling of safety or whatever it is, how do you get from that to this idea that I need to cause them harm?
I don't know.
I mean, the executive director of the Seattle King County Coalition on Homelessness spoke with the Seattle Times, and I mean, they're very much looking at the possibility that there are people, or at least one person, is targeting people who are homeless in Seattle. And it is a horrifying pattern. It's also being seen in other parts of the country. And her quote, Allison Isinger's quote, was, "The rhetoric around how public officials and others speak about people who do not have homes has real consequences for people's lives," which is exactly what you said. Yeah, when our policies treat people, human beings, our neighbors as garbage or worse, the results are tragic and sometimes fatal. And I just want to ask, because we bring up homelessness all the time, and I, again, understand the frustration. I understand the frustration, and I'm not blind to the idea that there isn't crime happening and that there can be these can be magnets for crime. That all said, if you are only referring to people who are experiencing homelessness as drug vagrants or, you know, trash or garbage or whatever it is, again, you're dehumanizing them. And there are crazy people who will take that to an extreme.
Yeah. We said that topic right there started Fresh Fridays off for me.
We have to do the news.
Yeah. But it's really unfortunate because there are people who don't believe that the people that are hard on their luck that are out there, they don't look at them as people. There are some that look at them, they think that they are trash. They are talked about as if they're trash. And there are people that are supposed to be trusted individuals with platforms that tell others that. And when you have a lot of that, that's why you get responses of, if they don't take care of the, quote, criminals and crackheads, we will. We get those responses because people use their platform to villainize the people that are out there hard on their luck.
Yeah. Okay, the families of two women who were shot to death last summer at an outdoor music festival at the Gorge are now suing the event organizer and security contractors, claiming those companies should have been able to prevent the killings. The lawsuit claims the prime defendant, Live Nation, failed to enforce its own policies prohibiting guns and illegal drugs at the venue and didn't take action when U.S. Army Specialist James Kelly started to behave erratically. Kelly told police he had taken magic mushrooms at the festival before he allegedly shot and killed concertgoers Brandy Escamilla and Jocelyn Ruiz that night. The women were engaged. They had traveled to the Beyond Wonderland Music Festival from Seattle. It was supposed to be a beautiful evening. Kelly told detectives that he started hallucinating and he feared that the world was coming to an end. So he pulled a gun out of his pickup, loaded it, and then fired at the couple who just happened to be passing by at that moment. The lawsuit alleges that despite years of warnings that its events were vulnerable to shootings, Live Nation failed to put in place reasonable security measures such as gun-sniffing dogs to enforce its own rules. You are the jury. What are you? Do you think that it is up to the event organizer to make sure that something like this doesn't happen? And I guess the second part of the question is, are you willing to take on gun-sniffing dogs? What kind of security measures would you be okay with going into an event?
Yeah. The reason why I'm pausing, because I knew this question. I knew you're coming with it. We've talked about it this morning. I knew it was coming. And all morning, I could not come up with an answer. First, there's frustration that I'll admit that when you go to a concert or you go to an athletic event and it takes forever and they want to go through your bags, Ursula. You guys have to have the see-through purses and you guys got to go through all of those things and it feels like an inconvenience. So I'll admit, not when I'm going to like Seahawk games because that's different, but when I'm going to any other stadiums.
When you're like the rest of us.
When I'm going to any other stadiums, Ursula, it is frustrating. Mm-hmm. However, do I understand? Yes. Is it frustrating at TSA when you're going through to the airport? Yes. Do I understand? Yes. So I don't think that Live Nation should be liable on the hook for what happened out there. I don't think I would. If I was a jury, I would say no. But I will put a stipulation in there that says going forward, you have to have this. So, yes. Did I escape that? Or are you okay with that answer?
Do you think that there is merit to this lawsuit? That Live Nation should have had more things in place to prevent something like this?
Yes. Yes, there's merit to it. But I'm not going to award anything other than...
Yeah, I think we need to have more details, obviously. And they say that more details are going to come out in trial because they're saying...
How about
that
you?
If I'm Live Nation, I'm looking for to pay out and try to settle this quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to put all of their things under scrutiny.
Good point. Yep. So just pay out now. Don't take this to trial.
Yeah.
And the trial could maybe set a new precedent for live events and what might be required for them going forward as well. Could be more costs, could be more factors there.
Good point, Paul. Before you go, Ursula, what do you think? Do you think we have enough in place for you? Of the two of us, you go to more concerts than me. Or do you think that there are enough security in place now, or would you like to see more, Ursula?
I have not been, believe it or not, I have not been to the Gorge.
I have.
And I know that that is like a must do.
Oh.
So I cannot believe that I have yet to go. I don't know how it would work in a venue like that where it's so sprawling and big and how you could make sure that everyone is checked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it would be hard. It's much easier if you have to go to a specific spot like Climate Pledge.
I
feel safe going into Climate Pledge based mm-hmm. on what happens. Okay. I don't mind that there's security all over the place. I don't mind that there's security all over the place. My neighborhood, Fred Meyer now. I've told you that. Mm-hmm. I feel better even though, yeah, it's a slight inconvenience. Mm-hmm. But I would rather feel safe going into something and take a little bit longer.
You don't mind going to get some plums and sugar with security right there?
Nope. Mm. Nope. Okay, speaking of security, the staffing crisis at Seattle Public Libraries has gotten so bad that they're going to be closing most of their 27 branches at least one day a week. These intermittent shutdowns are going to begin this weekend. They're going to last through June 4th. Mm-hmm. In case you don't know, the city of Seattle is facing a more than $240 million budget shortfall. Right now, the city has a hiring freeze. And during a recent city council meeting, this library worker pleaded for help.
There is a real human cost to the decision to embrace these austerity politics. When libraries close, it means the whole community community loses a place to turn for learning and joy and safety.
So it's not just the hiring freeze that is affecting library staffing. So we're talking about security here. Recent vandalism, loitering, and homeless encampments outside several branches have forced the library system to increase their minimum staffing requirements. So they're being stretched with the amount of people they have working right now. Library staffers and patrons have been complaining about the lack of safety, and the tally for the damage alone just in the past 18 months is more than $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you.
Yes.
How much of a priority should public libraries be in the grand scheme of things when we're looking at a budget shortfall of $240 million? You know that they're ginning up to ask us for more money.
Mm-hmm.
Us, meaning taxpayers.
I believe libraries should have more. They should have more investment into them, not less. I think libraries are very important. And maybe this is the possibly the old school part of me, but I just know how important they are. Because for people or young kids who don't have the opportunity to travel and go to all these different places for spring break, I remember the library being a place that helped you get outside of your town or get outside of your city. And maybe you haven't traveled abroad to go and see these places, but in the library was a place that you kind of felt. I always felt a good energy in the library to just go and learn. And you know what? Go learn what you want to. That's what I loved about the library. It wasn't like
gives everyone access.
It gives
equal access,
right? But I always had I felt freedom in the library, right? Like it wasn't like class where, hey, you need to do this. In the library, it was, hey, be free, go check out the different sections, and so you found yourself whatever your section was, you went to them. So I am a strong advocate of the library. Please, 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 it is worth it to invest in the libraries and to make sure that libraries have enough staffing and are continue to be able to open.
Okay, how about you listening right now? I mean, whether it's in the city of Seattle or outside where you live.
Yeah.
How much are you willing to go to bat for your neighborhood library? Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line is 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
You did a good job with that segment, Ursula. You really did. You did a good job.
I packed it with news. How's that?
You packed it with news?
I saved a fun one for the next hour.
You did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Good, good. Okay, we need to talk at 9:47. We will revisit the WNBA conversation because there's a bit of news that just came out, and you're going to be like, say what? We'll do that at 9:47. But up next, Shohei Ohtani. You guys know of him, probably the face of baseball, the biggest baseball star in the world. We're going to tell you right now how many times his interpreter is alleged to have gambled and how many times he bet. And we're going to find out if Shohei knew about it.
Okay, G, you smell a rat in this story. So we want to see if you do, too.
We'll do that next. Gene Ursula.
The G and Ursula Show, our Fresh Friday edition. And the question this hour is sports gambling going to change professional sports forever? And the reason we're bringing this up is because there are some new mind-boggling details about the now fired interpreter for baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani. He is accused now of bilking Ohtani of $16 million. So this interpreter's name is Ipe Mizuhara, and he allegedly used that money to pay off growing gambling debts. And he had access to Ohtani's bank accounts. I was just asking this morning, how can you steal $16 million from someone you are so close to And you, the victim, in this case, Ohtani, not having a clue about this. But one reason may be that Ohtani, who signed with the Dodgers this year, got a contract for $700 million over 10 years. But CBS's Adam Yamaguchi is following the story in Los Angeles, and he talks about some of the details.
Federal prosecutors laid out in detail how Ipe Mizuhara allegedly fleeced millions from the L.A. Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani.
Mr. Mizuhara had unique access to Mr. Ohtani's finances. Mr. Mizuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
Okay, so I'm going to guess many of you are going to say, how can someone like Ohtani truly be so clueless?
IRS special agent in charge Tyler Hatcher said Mizuhara identified himself as Ohtani to bank officials.
How did he go about impersonating Ohtani?
Basically, he was with him everywhere. And when you have that kind of access, you're going to know the answers to questions.
Last month, the Dodgers fired Mizuhara. Then Ohtani read a statement with a new interpreter.
I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. And I want to ask you, because I know you've been delving into this case and this story. And what stands out to you?
What stands out to me is Shohei Ohtani, as a baseball fan, you know this, Paul. When he became a free agent, everybody in the world wanted to know where Shohei Ohtani was going to go, right? It was a huge deal.
Oh, it was.
He's number one player in all of baseball, biggest name in baseball.
Wasn't there talk, maybe hopeful talk?
Of the Mariners? Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it. Yes. But the entire time, there was already a deal in place with the Dodgers. It had been kept secret the entire time. It never leaked at all. That's number one. Number two, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's married. Just out of nowhere. The biggest name in baseball. Nobody knew he was dating anyone. Then bam, he's married.
To a famous Japanese person as well.
And one more point. One of the places that he loves to go in the offseason is Seattle. He'd be right here working out. None of us knew it. So here is someone who has a very tight circle where nothing gets out. But then you mean to tell me he has an interpreter. Who's his best friend that makes 19,000 bets. Let me say that again. 19,000. And then last year in 2023, Shohei made good on those bets by paying it off, the $4.5 million, because that was his friend. And then 7-8 months later, this story comes out. And when the story comes out, at first it's like, oh, it's really no big deal. The interpreter is going to sit down and do an interview with ESPN. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah, there was a lot of changing stories right at the beginning.
And then after that, all of a sudden, bam, there's a whole change. Look, I'm not an investigator, but I do know if something does not feel right and does not smell right. And I believe that it is in baseball's best interest for this to be the story in which it is. Do I believe that nobody knew, that Shohei didn't know about 19,000 bets being made?
And then best friend, who's also your interpreter, who's with you all the time.
So then, okay, then why did you pay off in 2023? Why did you pay that off then? If you didn't know.
According to the complaint, Mizuhara was attempting to pay back his debt from Ohtani's account in a series of weekly $500,000 transactions. But after making some payments, he stops. And these are also in text messages that he sends to his bookie, Mizuhara's supposed bookie. This was in the ESPN report from this morning.
But he stayed his interpreter all the way until they were in South Korea. He didn't stop being his interpreter until this story broke. When the story broke, that was his last day as interpreter. So you mean to tell me Shohei And everybody surrounding baseball were like, oh, ESPN, oh, they just did a story. Oh, so, yeah, your friend is not the friend you think he is. That's what happened? That's it?
Okay, I want to ask, though. I want to go a little step further. And again, right now there is no evidence that Shohei knew or did anything illegal. Let's say it comes out that he was aware. What are the implications of that? And again, this has not been the
case.
That
would be bad for baseball. That would
talk
be,
about that.
Yeah, I think it would be bad for baseball, but it'd be bad for all of sports betting. You see, right now, at this time, when people think sports betting, watch this. When I say sports betting, and you're listening right now, who is the first name that you're thinking of in your mind? You're
Pete
thinking.
Rose.
And so when we think Pete Rose, we see what Major League Baseball has done to Pete Rose. So we have this idea. It's funny you said Pete Rose. It's funny how everybody thinks Pete Rose, right? But I got another thing for you. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be more. Why? Because betting is at the forefront. Sports betting is at the forefront of everything.
Yeah.
So if this would have been a real story, Ursula, it would have been bad for business for the sports betting world. And my question to everyone is this. Who's partnering with sports betting these days? MLB? NBA?
It's huge money in it.
NFL? So they're all partnering with sports betting. But they are going to expect none of their players to bet? They're going to expect for none of the players in their cohorts or their families or anybody associated with them to bet? How?
I think that's the biggest question that's
How?
Left. And it's not only the leagues getting involved, it's sports media, too. I mean, sports betting is in its coverage. It's in every asset of sports nowadays.
Everybody.
So the question would be, and everyone's saying Pete Rose.
Everybody's saying Pete Rose.
So the question would be, back to, is sports gambling going to change professional sports forever?
Absolutely.
And for the worse?
Yes. Yes. And right now, here's where it's going to change.
Can you put the toothpaste back
into
the tube?
No, ma'am. No, you cannot. Again, I asked a simple question. Ursula, you answered it. The text line lit up with Pete Rose. We are all have the villain of sports gambling in Pete Rose.
You know it happens so much more than
that's what I'm saying. But we're still, the narrative is, well, Pete Rose is not in baseball, so it's not happening anymore. Are you kidding me? So anyway, back to the Shohei. Sure.
There's also a famous basketball player, Jonte Porter, that's in trouble now in the NBA for him. With strong evidence that he is purposely taking himself out of games to hit certain betting lines. There's strong evidence. Nothing for sure, but there's strong evidence against him as well. I mean, these betting storylines are only going to become more and more frequent. Calvin Ridley, suspended for a year in the NFL. Every single sports league has had a betting story in the past couple of years.
Okay, still ahead.
The WNBA women's basketball coming up next. We're going to tell you why and who is the reason for this huge change in women's basketball. Do that next. G and Ursula. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, get Ursula excited.
We got to get moving,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, there it is. Happy Fresh Fridays here on the G and Ursula Show. You know what? We always talk, Ursula, about the homelessness crisis, but the story that you're going to bring up at 10 o'clock, because there is a certain area where prices are soaring, and we got to discuss this because I'm just trying to figure out where are you going to live in the state of Washington, because it's going up.
This is actually something that listener Catherine sent us.
Catherine!
This morning. Yes,
sure did.
She's great.
Okay, here's what we need to talk about. The hype that is centered around women's basketball is just not going to die. Ursula, first I'm going to ask you this. Are you tired of me bringing up women's basketball?
No, I love it. And I think that for so long, women's basketball, women's sports in general, just hasn't gotten a whole lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
think about our own professional women's basketball team here in Seattle, mm-hmm. how they have dominated in the league, and yet I get called out all the time when we don't bring them up when we talk about local sports.
Right.
And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But there is someone who changed that.
Absolutely. Her name's Caitlin Clark. The WNBA draft, Ursula, is this coming Monday. And also, so is tax day. But anyway, my bad. So it's this coming Monday. The Indiana Fever have the first pick. And so you're probably saying, well, gee, you don't know that the Fever is going to pick Caitlin Clark. What if they pick someone else, right? You might think that. Okay, sure. How about this? Pre-sale tickets for the Fever far exceeds the resale price of what it used to be. It has already increased for the Fever 136% already, even though they have not taken Caitlin Clark yet on Monday. And then so somebody might say, well, what if they're wrong? Okay, here's more evidence. Every Indiana Fever game coming up this season, 36 of the 40 will be shown on national broadcast or streaming services. For context, because I know, Ursula, you want me to give the news. You taught me well. Well, what does that mean? 36 of 40. Guess how many games the Indiana Fever had on national broadcast last season?
I'm going to guess not even a handful.
One. So there it is,
yeah.
Everyone.
So here, I have a question, though.
Okay.
What is it about Caitlin Clark that made her stand out in all of the history of women's pro basketball? Like, what was it about her that suddenly made everyone pay attention? And is it sustainable? Are we in for a big letdown? Like, okay, it doesn't translate to
I'll tell
pro
you.
Level.
Name, image, likeness. Nike, Gatorade, big, huge companies got behind Caitlin Clark because she's able, they weren't able to do that before. There were greats before Caitlin Clark, no doubt. The same way in the NBA, or if you will, there was Wilt Chamberlain and there was Bill Russell before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. But the storyline in college and what Magic Johnson and Larry Bird did in the 1979 national championship game made all eyes on the sport. You go into the NBA during that time, Ursula, it was on tape delay.
Oh, yeah.
There weren't even live NBA basketball games. But when Magic and Larry got to the league, they changed that. And this, so what I'm trying to set a precedent here and say, I'm not saying there weren't great players before Caitlin Clark. I'm saying that last season when it was Caitlin Clark against Angel Reese in a national championship game,
yeah,
it really brought eyes to the sport. And then Caitlin Clark comes back and she is the Steph Curry of the game. If you have watched her play.
So has there not been another college basketball player like her that had her kind of statistics, or her statistics just way?
No one scored more points than Caitlin Clark.
Nobody scored more points.
Wow.
Have there been great players? Sure. Right? Sue Bird at UConn. Brianna Stewart. Right? Like, there's been Diana Taurasi. Lisa Leslie. We can do this all day. But there's something about the way the moment has happened here. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I was just talking to someone in the sports side and they were talking about they already got tickets for the Storm game against the Fever.
Wow. So that there is, it spreads to other teams,
no doubt.
Other sports. And I think that some credit also needs to go to, someone mentioned like with pro soccer and Megan Rapinoe and how, women have really been pushing to elevate women's sports to try to bring it up to par with the level of attention and salaries given to men's sports.
Right. One last point to make, and you're asking me, if you all get a chance to watch the women's game, watch the WNBA, let me tell you what you're going to see.
you're going to actually see defense being played. You're going to actually see passion of the game. You don't see that in the NBA anymore, Ursula.
Okay. 360 just texted in. I agree with G, but also guys, college and pro sports have become lazy. You get the impression the athletes aren't giving it their all. Women's sports still seem pure and 100% real, and they look like they're giving it everything.
You want to know?
That was beautifully said.
Well said. You want to know what I learned about?
I haven't watched a men's pro basketball game in ages.
You want to know what I learned about doing this show with you over the last 4 years? When I first started doing this show, I used to think like, oh, well, we can do this and we can do that. And the listeners, they won't really. You cannot fool viewers and listeners.
Sure.
They know.
You can't call you out on it.
You can't fool them. So when you watch a women's game, you don't have to take my word. You watch the Caitlin Clarks and all these names. You come back and you're like, yeah, G, it was awesome. What's new at 10? Coming up next, G and Ursula.